Welcome to the Wise Women Diaries podcast. This is where shame and victimhood die. I am a woman that questions everything, so this podcast is a reflection of that. Here we speak on non-mainstream perspectives, like healing our childhood wounds, learning to trust ourselves, the voice of fear versus intuition, and how children are our teachers. We discuss what it looks like to own your power as a woman and step out of the medical paradigm. That's why I am obsessed with interviewing women who trust their bodies and babies in home birth and free birth, and their wild journey from maiden to mother. Ultimately, this podcast is for women who want to thrive and have inner peace, learning how to take radical responsibility for their life and shed victimhood for good. Out of all the topics I am so passionate about, I think the top one is defending children and trying to get adults to understand and have empathy for children. That is my greatest passion, because I am an Enneagram 8, and that means I am the defender of something. You know, we seek justice, and I do this on behalf of children because I think they are so misunderstood. They are so innocent, and they don't have enough warriors defending them. So I am their warrior. And so I'm going to explain a great aha moment I've had in the past week regarding children, and then also my theory on why do we all have low self-worth? I would say 99.9% of us have this, I am not good enough, because in women it comes out with our bodies, our looks, aging, you know, needing the perfect body, needing the perfect toned body with a big butt, no wrinkles, and then if only I was pretty enough, then I could be enough. Then I will feel good enough. And with men, often it comes out in career and money. You know, if only they could attain this external thing, then they could feel good enough and worthy enough. So why do we all have these worthiness issues? I'm going to get to that later on. But first, my aha moment from this week. I am reading this book called Fear No Evil, The Pathway Method of Transforming the Lower Self. And in this book, it talks about the ego mind. And I talk about the ego mind a lot because I am very passionate about the human condition, which is the ego, the mind. We have this part of us that is nasty, that is resentful and angry and jealous and envious and catty. We all have this shadow part of ourselves. And that's what makes us human, because in heaven, in the other realms, whatever you want to call it, this human part of us doesn't exist. We are just a soul in the other realms. So on our human life, we are an ego, we have this mind, and we have our divinity, we have a soul. So we are loving, and we have this higher self that is compassionate and wise and forgiving. But it's usually harder to access. The ego mind, our human self, is obsessed with fear and worry and what it doesn't have, and it salivates over all the things it wishes it had and that it doesn't have, and it is the victim. You know, poor me. You know, my life stinks so bad because X, Y, Z, and this person wronged me, and my child is so whiny, and poor me, I have to put up with my child. That is the ego. And that is very easy to be in. That is the easiest state to be in. Victimhood, complaining, resentful, angry, gossip, negative, worry, fear. It is so easy to be in that part of ourselves. And it takes a lot of work, a lot of discipline to be in our soul, our authentic self, our higher self, our peaceful, wise, forgiving, loving self. That takes practice, that takes discipline, and not many people are in their authentic self, their soul, often because it takes work to get there. You have to bypass the ego mind that's so angry to get to your soul. This book, Fear No Evil, it actually brings in this third voice. It says we have three voices in our body, and this put a light bulb in me of, oh, okay, wow, yes. We have our ego self, that egotistical inner child, that shadow that's the ultimate victim, you know, that is so narcissist and angry and always feels wronged and poor me. And then we have the higher self, the soul. But we also have this third voice, the conscious mind, the conscious logical thought, the programmed self of how to behave in this society. And this conscious mind is the part of us that has reason. You know, we can think of all of our options and then decide on what we want to do. It's conscious thought, it's reason, it's logic. So it is the part of us that gatekeeps our ego. It is the gatekeeper. Our conscious mind comes in when we are so angry and it says, oh, you should not lash out to this stranger in this store, because that's not kind and it's not socially acceptable. You know, you should suppress that anger and leave the store and go yell in your car. So the conscious mind is our logical thought, and it's our gatekeeper of our actions when we are so emotional. So as adults, we're angry, we're triggered, we're annoyed, and we have this mind come in, this gatekeeper within ourselves that says, oh, you should not tell your friend the truth of how she looks in this dress, because that's unkind. That's like socially unkind. So you should suppress that. The gatekeeper says you should suppress the truth and instead act in this socially acceptable way. You know, lie. Lie because we have to maintain this connection with our friend. We can't be honest. And, you know, we're social mammals, and these are the weird rules about being social that we have to sometimes abide by to keep relationships. It's a weird, complex world when you actually think about it. But anyways, children do not have this third voice in them. They do not have the conscious mind. They do not have a gatekeeper coming in to a moment of high emotion and saying, oh, no, you shouldn't bite. Children don't have the conscious mind yet because it's being developed. Toddlers have the ego and the soul. They are pure emotion. And they're pure love. They're pure anger and they're pure love. They're both. It's duality, right? We are a human and we are a soul. But young children, they do not have a gatekeeper in their mind. They will develop it around 6, 7, 8 years old. That is the programmed self. The brain that our parents condition and program into us. That is the conscious mind. And from ages 0 to 7, the conscious mind is being programmed and being developed. So a 2-year-old is incapable of stopping themselves when they're angry from biting or screaming or hitting, because they have no gatekeeper in their mind. They have no conscious thought of, I shouldn't bite. Biting's bad. No. They move from emotion to action in one split second without a pause. And Nicole Parker talks about this on the podcast we did together from last fall. I think it's called Consciously Parenting 4 Sons. And she literally has a quote about toddler brains have no cerebral gatekeeping. It is emotion to action without any gatekeeping. So the parent has to be the gatekeeper for the child. The parent needs to assume the responsibility over the child because the child is incapable of having this own cerebral gatekeeping over their actions. Young children are incapable. So, suffering and victimhood in parenting stems from unrealistic expectations on young children to be able to temper and have impulse control and to gatekeep their actions. They are not capable. When a 2-year-old or 3-year-old is angry, they will have an impulse to output that anger without any gatekeeping or logical thought in their brain because it doesn't even exist. So the victimhood and the suffering of parenthood stems from having these unrealistic expectations on a child that is not capable of upholding the expectation because their brain development literally makes it impossible. So if you're a parent and you are expecting your 2-year-old to learn to stop biting when they're 2 years old, there's nothing you can do to stop them from biting besides taking responsibility over them. And when you see them getting angry, you know, actually physically stopping them from biting because you are anticipating the moment because you know your child and you're watching them boil up with anger and you know they're gonna bite. It is unrealistic to yell at a 2-year-old and say, stop biting or don't bite, and then for them to remember it next time. Because they have no conscious mind gatekeeping their actions. So that is why parents feel insane when their child won't listen to them. But their child is not capable of adhering to the parent's expectation. When an adult is angry, we have a stop gate, the conscious mind, from stopping us from screaming at a stranger or punching a stranger. You know, we could be so angry, but we have our conscious mind being like, no, that's not appropriate. So then we silence that urge. And that only comes with time. That comes with brain development. So parents are creating their own suffering by expecting a child's brain to be just like theirs. They're projecting onto this small child to be just like them when they are absolutely different. An adult's brain gets fully mature around 26 years old or something like that. So a 3-year-old is nowhere near the ability to have self-control. So the adult has to be, the parent has to be the gatekeeper for the young child. It is the parent's responsibility to keep the child from biting another child. It is not the toddler's responsibility. A group of 2-year-olds in the room together is not the children's responsibility to not bite each other. They will bite each other because they move from emotion to action within a split second. It is the parents in the room's responsibility to protect each child from each other. That is the parent's responsibility. It does not rest on a child that does not have a conscious mind yet. So if a parent has these unrealistic expectations on a small toddler, what does the toddler feel every day? Failure. Failure, failure. I am not good enough. I keep failing. I keep getting yelled at. I keep getting shamed. I keep getting put in timeout. I keep getting yelled at because I cannot live up to my parents' expectation. I would guarantee most of us were parented like this. So if we were once small children and we were expected to have behavior that we were incapable of having at that age because of an underdeveloped brain, we felt like we failed every day. Every day. So if this happened over and over again, hundreds of times, we got the message that we're not good enough. Because we failed every day. We're not good enough. We're not good enough. We're not good enough. We didn't live up to our parents' expectations. So over and over again, I am thinking that's what creates this huge wound in almost all of us that we're not good enough. Low self-esteem, low self-worth, because of these high expectations that we had as a child. And we most of us don't have memories from this time, but it was programmed into us. All of this does not mean that you don't have no boundaries over your young children. You don't just let them bite and hit and scratch and yell and tackle all the time. No, of course not. But the parent has to model it and physically step in, because a child has no impulse control, right? A parent can say, oh, we don't hit when we're angry, and have empathy and compassion that a child will understand that at the right age. At 2-3 years old, they won't be capable of having a stopgap between anger and an outward crazy reaction. But through time, through many years, when they're 5, 6, 7, 8, their reactions will change because their brain development changes. Nicole Parker has a really good quote saying, she's amazing when she talks about her boundaries with her boys, because her responsibility as a parent is to be the gatekeeper for all of her children, because they cannot be that for themselves. Yes, she lets them rough and tumble, but when the boys are very dangerous to one another, she physically steps in because she is their gatekeeper, because they cannot be that for themselves. Eventually, they can be, with time, with many years. But on the podcast we have together, she says a quote something like, if I had no boundaries in my home with all of my boys would be chaos and hurt and pain amongst each other, because it's just this massive ego, right, that seeks revenge when one child takes a toy away from another. Boom, revenge, hit, slap. In a house with no parental boundaries and children are running the show, there is no cerebral gatekeeping. There is no conscious logic thought happening, because it's all emotion. So the parent has to be the gatekeeper for all of the children, physically and emotionally. It is the parent's responsibility to keep siblings safe from one another. It's not their responsibility. It's not a 3-year-old's responsibility to be told one time that the road is dangerous and for them to keep themselves safe. It is the parent's responsibility to keep the 3-year-old safe from the road. Until many years pass and they have that conscious mind that knows that roads are not safe. This can also be applied to pets, because if you get a puppy and you leave items out, they will get chewed or eaten, because that is a puppy's brain development stage. So it is the adult's responsibility in the house to curate the environment appropriate to the child's brain development or the pet's brain development. I lived this out when I had a kitten a few months ago, and he ruined a lot of our indoor plants, and I could have been a victim to that, or I recognized, okay, I took a wild animal inside a modern home, and in his brain development stage, he's in pure curiosity. Pure play and curiosity, that's all he's concerned with. So he is going to play with the only nature available to him in the house, houseplants. That's his brain development stage. And it's my responsibility as the adult, as the curator of the environment, to either get rid of all the houseplants so he can't ruin them, or let him play with them. And I wanted him to be able to play with the only nature available to him. And similarly, he would knock off, swat things off the kitchen island, even glass or ceramic bowls or dishes. And I could easily become victim to that, right? Oh my gosh, he swatted this and now this broke and now I have to clean this up. It's not fair to put an expectation on a kitten that he is incapable of fulfilling. So instead, it's my responsibility to not leave glasses and dishes and ceramic stuff on the kitchen island. That is in my responsibility. It is not a kitten's responsibility. It is mine, the adult's. And this is what can be applied to children and pets. Putting unrealistic expectations on a being, on a human or a pet that is incapable of fulfilling it because of their brain development. That is the recipe of suffering and victimhood. Adults have way more responsibility because they have the conscious mind. They have the logic that children and puppies and kittens do not. A really fun experiment would be to start noticing when you feel a big emotion and then watching the conscious mind come in, and especially in a social setting, watching the mind tell you what's socially acceptable, what is socially appropriate, what is an expectation that the conscious mind tells you to do. Or you feel a big emotion in a social setting and you watch the conscious mind say, oh, you need to suppress that because, you know, we don't say those kind of things in front of people we hardly know. And then watch how our action gets suppressed. And then compare that to being at home in our safe haven, in our safe place with our spouse or kids, and watch how it's easier to be our nasty self, to yell when we're angry, to have a nasty tone. And our conscious mind allows us to really output our emotion way differently than with our friends or when we're out in public at a party or at a restaurant, right? We have this huge part of us that curates our behavior in social settings and with strangers, but then in our own home, we might yell. we just show a different part of ourselves. And it's just very interesting. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's very interesting how we show that nasty part of ourselves to our spouse or kids, and then it's very hidden in other dynamics such as friends or coworkers, because that conscious mind is our programmed self of what's socially acceptable. And some of this programming is so necessary because we are social mammals, and if we didn't have this gatekeeping of what is acceptable with behavior, we would be, every trigger we would feel or every jealousy we would feel, we would be outputting that onto the person that we're in front of. And, you know, would we even be able to have relationships if we didn't have that suppression? It's just a very interesting conversation because we then realize how much we actually suppress, how much we, you know, don't tell our innermost truth. And that's what kids don't do. They don't know how to lie because they just know the truth. So if they see someone, you know, with a really big belly, they'll just say, oh, they have a big belly, because they just say the truth. They see the truth and they see their reality. They don't have a conscious mind that's programmed to say, oh no, you don't talk about people like that. You don't comment on people's behavior or appearance. You don't comment on people's appearance like that. Especially strangers, you don't do that. Children don't have that gatekeeping of socially acceptable lies. Oh my gosh. And so that's why children say the darndest things, because they don't have the conscious mind telling them what is socially appropriate or not. And that's what we have. So we socially lie all the time. And we socially suppress our greatest annoyance while talking to someone. We feel so triggered and annoyed by something, but oh no, we have to act like we're not. We have to suppress it. We have to suppress it. And I'm not saying it's good or bad. It's just fascinating because when you really are looking at your day-to-day life, we suppress a lot. And so it's just like where those emotions are, where are they going, right? And toddlers suppress nothing, nothing. They feel an emotion and they output it instantly. They know no other way because they have no programming telling them what to do. They're learning, right? You know, they will be very programmed by the time they're 6, 7, 8 years old, which is when the conscious mind, that computer program within us that our society inputs and our parents input and our religion inputs and our schoolmates input. And then that's what stays with us for most of our life. And the brain is plastic. You know, we can change a lot. But a lot of us are facing these low self-worth wounds that are in us. And honestly, it's really hard to override. I don't know. I don't have this silver lining. I do know the brain is plastic and it's malleable, and that's why I've used mushrooms. But we also just always have this ego self that, you know, will give us these nasty versions of ourselves that we don't really like that much, and we learn to live with it. That's the reparenting process, is being able to be with our shadow self, being able to be with our big emotions instead of coping with food or alcohol or all these coping mechanism ways of all of our feelings that we suppress. We're just trying to find healthy coping mechanisms, being with ourselves through uncomfortable emotions and sitting with those emotions and not outputting them onto other people. Because if we feel like really nasty about ourselves, you know, we can just vomit that onto our child or spouse. And that's not nice. That's not kind. It's our inner demon that we need to sit with. We shouldn't be passing it on to someone else. I know a lot of you are parenting real children while reparenting yourself. It's a big process, and I love that this is all happening on the planet right now. There's more conscious parents more than ever. So I want to invite anyone out there, if you want to tell your conscious parenting story, how you woke up to this way of living and being, and if you want to talk about your real life parenting, real life scenarios, I would love to have people on here.